Actually, it's the birthday of our king, Willem-Alexander of the Kingdom of the Netherlands. But at the same time, the birthday of the king also means that it's a national day. I don't know whether you were there last year at our King's Day reception that we organized in Da Vinci, but you could see from that gathering that we painted the whole place orange, because orange is our national color. And on King's Day, our national day, that means that everyone, yeah, it's always a very joyous occasion. We have many games in towns, we have flea markets, we have concerts in the open air. You know, everyone goes outside and they dress in orange and we do really big gatherings. But now, of course, this year is different. We call it still King's Day, but the message of our king and our government was very clear prior that we have to stay at home these days. That means we celebrate it at home and we try to organize things virtually by internet or, for example, at 4 o'clock, and I'm like 45 minutes away from it. In our own household, we toast, we give a toast to the king. You know, so it's a completely different day, of course, than in other years. Also because it's important to stay at home.
Yeah, talking about staying at home and talking about celebrating this day, not like the previous years, of course, because of the COVID-19. Netherlands Embassy in Juba, how are you helping in, you know, the prevention of this disease in South Sudan?
I really like your question, and I think it's important to shed some light on that. The majority of the Dutch persons are outside of Juba right now, and that's kind of, it happened on the 17th of March when that decision was taken, and at that time, actually, the Saturday beforehand, I was supposed to come back to Juba. But before I traveled back on the Friday, the South Sudanese government called upon many very strict measures. And so that means at that time I could not go back. Doesn't mean that we have closed our embassy at all. I mean, our local staff still comes to the embassy. We have still an expat security manager there. And at our compound, you know, there are also the Canadians, the colleagues and the Swedish. So we have just kind of now a divided embassy. So that means that my job also as an ambassador completely different job. That means that I'm working like 9 to 5 or later, even sometimes in the evenings as well, via virtual calls. So I call a lot. I have many calls with my colleagues in Juba and South Sudan and our partners on our programs, and, you know, also ways that we can reorganize some of our programs. Just actually right now, I also came from a call with my colleagues talking about our development portfolio and what additional measures we could take also to help South Sudan to get into grips with the COVID pandemic. So let me tell you already a little bit what we have been changing over the time frame. You know that we have a program in South Sudan that focuses both on meeting humanitarian needs, but also at the same time promoting resilience. And I actually always say when I'm in Juba and I talk to the radio that we have a very positive program, more or less, for South Sudan, because we try to create that peace dividend, creating jobs for women and younger people. We want to continue with that particular program. But on a humanitarian, for example, when it comes to COVID epidemic, we have now in total responded 96 million euro, out of which 1.5 million extra addition to the South Sudan Joint Response, which is a joint program of the Dutch Relief Alliance. And the Dutch Relief Alliance are various humanitarian Dutch partners that are operating in South Sudan, and they are still there. And also, last week, we did a new contribution of $1.7 million to the South Sudan Humanitarian Fund, and that is a UN fund that makes sure that the care which is needed is there where the needs are highest, and that is on top of the $6 million that we already pledged before in January. But when it comes to, for example, our development program, I don't know whether you recall that I signed a very big contract with UNICEF of $22 million just before, I think it was in December. So that is really all about water resource management. But we have been talking with UNICEF to see whether we can also finance out of that more rehabilitation points. So it means that people have access to hygiene and to water. And we will also finance out of that soaps. What is very much important right now is having hygiene places. So reallocating some of the funding from that UNICEF program to COVID-19 epidemic. I talked to you earlier about the job creation programs that we have. Part of that is also setting up vocational schools. And I recently went to Jambio, for example, to open. Not to Bor it was, but I've been traveling somewhere. But in Bor we also opened the vocational schools. Now, these vocational schools, they will be used right now to produce fast face masks. We expect to produce in these vocational schools approximately 100,000 face masks. I think a very important, a very solid and constructive contribution. So in all the programs that we have, we try to see whether we can reallocate to make sure that the needs of South Sudan are most met. This is part of the, but it's really an ongoing discussion.
Let's talk about some of the programs that you might have to suspend because of the COVID-19. How has it affected your work here as an embassy in Juba?
Well, the fact that we are not there doesn't mean that the work cannot continue. So I think it's fairly, I really want to stress that. Most of our work, most of our programs, for example, they are done via UN and other partner organizations who still have a presence there. But of course, I mean, for me as an ambassador, for example, I used to travel quite a lot outside of Juba. I can't do that anymore. And that also goes for our same partner organizations. So access and freedom of movement is very important. And right now you can see that the message is stay at home, stay sane, and stay healthy. And what I can't do right now, and which I'm trying to set up next week by setting up some calls, see whether I can have a direct access as well to the high-level task force and some of the counterparts. But that is now being done by the UN and the EU colleagues. Because, of course, we have some concerns when it comes to issues like access and freedom of movement. In particular, it's important for us to understand the rules and procedures that are being set up by the high-level task force, for example, on interstate movement for passengers. There's really a need for the humanitarian access to continue to do their work because of the humanitarian need, the needs that are in South Sudan. Of course, all our partners, we are very anxious not to spread the virus beyond Juba. You know, what I read about the testing of pre-departures for all humanitarian workers, that could actually overload things and the testing system from where tests are really needed. So it's very important for the humanitarian community to discuss with the government how to best strike balance. And of course, at the same time, I also would like to know, as my humanitarian colleagues and friends would like to know, what really are the rules to enter and exit South Sudan. I'm looking, for example, for myself and some two other colleagues also to return, but it's for me a little bit unclear what is needed beyond the permission, the special permission to be given by the high-level task force. Of course, I think it's important for me to return, but yeah, that goes for, I think, all the colleagues. But we want to do it in a cautious way. And an ambassador, you don't do your work from a your home in the Netherlands, eh? This is not, this was me, a very unlikely place to do my work. I hope to come back as soon as possible, but I also hope that the situation, of course, in South Sudan improves. And I think the caseload, as you know, is not very high in South Sudan, although it might also not be a little bit higher because there's limited availability of testing. But I think a severe lockdown for South Sudan in the end is not going to help society of South Sudan.
Ambassador, let's talk briefly about the preventive measures that possibly your country have put in place. And in South Sudan here, we can still see, you know, some people having more like a normal life. How is it there in your country, and how can we learn from the preventive measures that are being put in place in, for example, your country?
Well, in my country, I mean, this is very interesting. Yeah? And so in Europe, you've had countries that have different situation and also reacted differently. It's very difficult to get one unified position on this. Now, the situation in the Netherlands is as follows. We have a social distancing, and everyone is talking about setting up a society of 1.5 meters. So that means that we are all advised to stay at home. That's not just an advice that, hey, perhaps it's better for you to stay at home. No, it's really stringent advice. So we stay at home. We don't gather collectively. You can't go outside with more than one person. So I'm here, for example, in the Netherlands in my house. I have two sons. We can't fit at the supermarket with the three of us. I can only do the grocery shopping by myself. So it's really a very, we don't have to wear obligatory face masks. But if you feel sick, you don't go out. The coughing you do on your elbow, you wash your hands a lot. So it's actually quite similar to South Sudan, with the exception perhaps that in South Sudan, you can't fly anymore to South Sudan. It's difficult to go outside. So it's a severe lockdown in South Sudan, more severe than here in the Netherlands. Of course, every country has to look into their own system and measures, but I think having continuous transfer of goods and essential people is really very important for your economy also not to collapse. I can't really tell South Sudanese to look into the Netherlands, because you know we've had actually quite a large caseload, huh? But a large part of the caseload actually was taking place in a geographical location in the Netherlands where they had a lot of celebrations because of Carnival. And so the more people you have together collectively, and they move around, and they, as part of them also came back from Italy because of the winter holiday, the sports holiday. So for us, in the area where my parents live, there are fairly limited cases, right? Because they don't celebrate enough. I don't know. But it's important to social distancing. That's really very, very important, but not to clamp down your economy. And I think also for a country like South Sudan, it's important to have that freedom of movement, to have a balanced approach, and to really be very careful about going into a major lockdown, because that will not benefit, I think, the economy of South Sudan.